Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This text is both vexing and rather easy at the same time. This wonderful story of the tenants of the vineyard and the landowner and the slaves. And it's often, you know, Jesus really interprets this particular parable for us and says, well, you know, it's fairly obvious the landowner is God and the tenants are the people who God sent to take care of God's kingdom, the priests and the pastors, all of the people. And they don't do a very good job. And in fact, when God comes back to harvest the fruits that are almost ready, it says in Matthew, those who are in the vineyard, the tenants, decide, well, the vineyard should be ours. It's my labor and my vines. I worked all this time. We're going to keep it for ourselves. And they kill off the slaves. And they kill off the servants. And finally, when the landowner sends the son, and surely they will not harm the son who comes to collect the harvest, they kill him as well. And if the vineyard is the kingdom, and all of the fruit in the kingdom belongs to God, and we're expected to give it back, as the parable seems to suggest, we Lutherans have a problem. Here's the deal. On first reading of this text, it appears to me that our doctrine of all we need to do is receive God's grace and be saved, and that's all that's expected of any of us, comes into question. The owner of the vineyard seems to be expecting something from the tenants. That's us. What shall we do with this? For years, we in the church truly have, and rightly, I believe, preached a theology of grace. That at least in as much as we talk about the way that God saves us and draws us into God's self, we believe with our whole heart and mind that there is nothing that we can do or should do or need to do to earn that grace. The problem is that there are times that we would just like to leave it at that and go on. We've received God's grace. Here we are. All we need to do now is just skate along in the vineyard. It's all good. But I think this text reminds us that God expects something of us. And that something is that we bear fruit. We see it in many, many places in the Bible and especially in the New Testament. We are expected as God's people to bear fruit. Think for a minute. Think for yourself. And I kind of came up with this exercise earlier this week, but think for a moment about what kind of fruit you bear. What sort of tree are you? Or vine? Or bush? Are you a pine tree producing all of that lovely, annoying pollen? Are you an apple tree? A grape vineyard? Or perhaps an ornamental bush? Not I, certainly. What sort of fruit do you bear in your life as a person? Did it ever occur to you that you should? That something should come of your life? Something that isn't just for you, but that belongs to the whole of humanity? You bear fruit every day, although you might not always know it. Nor will it necessarily be useful or noticeable fruit. This week, I decided that I needed to weed out in front of our house. And so I got out there in the rain and I started pulling weeds out in front of the house, which is an exercise with which I am rather familiar as a child. We had a house in Arizona that for some reason, like most people, we planted grass. And in Arizona, grass grows horribly where you want it to, but really well where you don't want it to. My job was to get rid of the grass that wasn't any good. So I was out there picking grass and pulling up weeds and pulling stuff out of the asphalt and the concrete, and all of a sudden I noticed there are avocados all over the place. An avocado tree right there in our yard. And I thought, how wonderful! We have an avocado tree. This is really great, and it's bearing fruit. Trust me, it's bearing fruit. I thought it was a great idea until I had to pick up the avocados, which I have found there is sometimes fruit gets used for less than desirable things. Rats love avocados. Who knew? What kind of fruit are you, and do you bear, and is it useful fruit? I think it's a question for us not only to think about in terms of our own lives, but in the lives of our congregation and our church and our community. In the gospel lesson for today, the owner of the land expects the land to bear fruit and expects the tenants to give it up. What sort of fruit do we bear in our congregation? Is it good fruit? Is it useful fruit? Is it fruit the community needs? It's not that I don't have the answer to the question, but it's a question we ought to ask. What fruit are we bearing here? And is it the fruit that God has planted us to bear? We all know of churches who probably could not answer that question at all, because the only fruit that they've borne really in a while is to simply survive. Survival fruit. But think about our community. We are like an orchard. There is all kinds of interesting fruit. One of the things that I experienced when I came to Hawaii that was a new thing is y'all eat fruit I didn't even know existed. That little spidery looking ball thing, whatever that thing is, it tastes really good. But I'm going to take some back to Kansas and show it to them. Go, hey, eat this. They won't know whether to eat it or pet it. But there's all kinds of fruit here. There are people who are bearing fruit and healing and feeding the hungry. We do that through ANC, the Angel Network, and also through the Institute for Human Services. We're bearing fruit in our community with our music. When people come here, as they did last week, and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through our music, we are bearing God's fruit for the kingdom when we gather and we share the word together and take it into the community. Each and every day here, we are bearing fruit, trees of every kind, and that's you. You are the trees bearing fruit in the vineyard. But we forget that it's not only just for our own sake, but really for the community's sake. For the world's sake. That's why the vineyard is planted in the first place, so that it can bear fruit for the benefit of the world. What sort of fruit are we being called to bear as a church and as individuals and as a community? It's a question that I think needs to be asked over and over again in light of God's mission and our place in the midst of that mission. As we begin our stewardship campaign, we need to remember, oh my goodness, there's fruit to be born. It is a free ride with God's grace and God's salvation and God's love, but that we've been placed also to bear fruit for the world. we often will talk about the fact that we're being called to give 10% back. But in this Gospel of Matthew, in this wonderful parable, the landowner wants the whole harvest. Everything. We need to remember that everything that we are and everything that we have belongs first to God. We are simply stewards and tenants in the vineyard in God's kingdom. And it is through our faithful service that the fruit of the kingdom, with God's Spirit and God's help, with God's presence and God's mission, comes to bear good fruit. So you fruit bearers, what a wonderful opportunity God has given us. St. Paul will confess his own bad fruit that he bore without even knowing it, and seek again to race with the Spirit and God to bear good fruit. Through our confession and through our worship, through our fellowship and our time together, through the fruits of love that we get through the Spirit and the fruits of love that we bear for one another each day, God's vineyard grows and flourishes. And so we are stewards of the mystery of the kingdom, stewards of our own possessions, which belong first to God, and of which we simply give a portion in return, that God's kingdom can continue to flourish. We are stewards of the garden that God has created, both in our relationships with one another and of an earth that is both fragile and resilient. You fruit bearers are God's kingdom alive in this place. Go and bear fruit. Amen.